Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. God bless you, and God bless America, and we thank you for tuning in. Golly, our country is going through a heck of a lot of mess with these impeachment hearings here. We're not getting anything else done. We haven't for the past couple of years. We're spending all our time trying to prove what's not there to prove. And the Democrats are working really hard at it. But after watching the hearing, the first impeachment, public impeachment hearing today, you know, I couldn't help but realize that they've sat in closed-door sessions for quite a while now, rehearsing and preparing for this, and still couldn't pull it off. Well, our panel today, we have Bob and Mary Griswold with us.
Hello.
Hello.
Mary, right-wing granny, how's things going on the blog?
Very well. I had a 37,000 hit day this month.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow.
All
right. Good
right,
job.
Rightwinggranny.com. That's a source for all your conservative news. She goes out and really does her homework finding the sources, and she gives you that information right there. She doesn't just post her opinion up there. And sitting next to her, we have Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
And Diane also has a blog, For Love of God and Country. She's highly educated. She studied the Constitution under Judge Napolitano, and she's an attorney. She's a scientist, a mom, a pet owner. She's all kinds of things. A what?
Teacher.
A teacher, yeah. She was a teacher, which is going to be relevant in later parts of the show today. But we welcome Diane, and she really has some interesting articles on her blog, For Love of God and Country.
Yeah, I think I got 6 hits today, Rick. I think this is 6.
I'll talk to you about that. Okay. I didn't have time to do it anymore. All right.
You're so bad.
And we have our chairman, Hal James, and his lovely life. Life, it is. Life for life, right?
Right, absolutely.
Well, 60 hey, years and counting.
You know, we need to remind Rick to quit calling them Democrats. You know, we got to call them liberals or socialists or something like that because we're nonpartisan.
It's right. Well, it is what it is, Hal.
All right.
It wasn't meant as a political statement. It was meant as a factual statement.
Okay.
There was no partisanship or endorsements implied or given.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay. And I'll get to more of that later on. Rainer is the editor of our your Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association in Action page, which appears weekly in the County Compass newspaper, which is free and full of wonderful information, including our page. There you can find the report on the president's achievements. It's the Trump report card. And Connie Hanna does that and does an outstanding job. You can pick up the County Compass in a whole lot of locations all around.
They say about 700 different locations of 20,000 circulation. And right, we will have a very nice, we have one out on the street now, a very nice ad on our upcoming event. So we were pleased with that.
Right. Very good newspaper. You know, you don't have to pay for the junk like you do with the other newspapers in the area.
Yeah, all right.
It's free, and it's supported totally by advertising, and we appreciate them. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about today's public hearings. We're going to introduce Alan. We'll go ahead and do it now. Y'all thought I was stupid or something. We have another guest with us that we're going to talk with in the second part of the show here. We're going to start out talking about the hearings, but then we're going to switch over to education. And we have a special guest, Alan Harrop. You've heard him on our show before. Last time he came in, he talked with us about climate change. And he was right. It got colder today. He was right, yes.
All across the country.
Yeah, everywhere. Actually, he was debunking global warming and how the liberals have switched away from global warming and now are calling it climate change, like it never changed before. It's a new thing that's happened. Anyway, I digress.
Greedy, I appreciate being here in this such a great, hard-working group. It's an honor to be here. I feel a little inadequate not having a blog site, but maybe I'll have to work on that.
Yeah, we can help you with that.
But anyway.
We can give you a page on our website, okay. cctaxpayers.com. We'll just set you up a section there, and all you have to do is...
I'm not sure I'm ready to handle 37,000 responses. Maybe there's six.
We'll settle for something in between there.
There you go.
I'm happy to hear Alan on education, because that's one of my pet peeves, and I'm sure he'll be saying something about the indoctrination of our children by the leftists. And,
well, Alan's written a paper on it. It was full of great information. So we'll hear directly from the horse's mouth in just a little bit. Right now, let's talk about Mr. Adam Schiff and his hearing that he held today. Mary, you got some comments? I can see you just ready to pounce.
I just want to share a little information about George Kent. George Kent is one of the witnesses.
Yes.
And he was at one point the deputy to Marie Yovanovitch. Does that name ring any bells to anybody?
The ambassador.
She's the Ukrainian ambassador that was fired because she was bad-mouthing Trump. And you're not allowed to be an ambassador and bad-mouth your commander-in-chief. That's frowned on.
Yes.
And even though you're appointed by the commander-in-chief?
Well, she was appointed by Obama, but she served at the discretion of the commander-in-chief. He had every right to fire her. I mean, he could have fired her because he didn't like the color shoes she wore.
Right.
So that is not a problem. But I just think it's interesting that George Kent is the guy who set up the, quote, anti-corruption bureau in the Ukraine that turned out to be a Soros protection bureau.
Right.
And they protected a group called ANTAC, A-N-T-A-C, which was an NGO that Soros was running. And
that's
this was
a non-governmental office.
This was the
organization.
Old,
I'm sorry.
President. This is not the current president who's trying to clean up the mess. So that's my comment, and it's not necessarily directly related to impeachment, but it's the kind of information that needs to come out to show that the whole thing is a circus and it's not really valid.
Right. Well, here's my viewpoint in a nutshell. The president not only is trying to clean up the swamp in D.C., he has clearly cut ties with corrupt leaders around the world and tried to build bridges with others. He's trying to quit being the police force of the world.
Yes.
And require these countries to be responsible and require them not to be corrupt, but to act like a real, I'm going to say the word democracy, because that's the word they use all over the place. But he's trying to clean all that up as well. And it's no secret that corruption was rampant in the Ukraine.
The other thing to notice, when you watch the impeachment hearings and listen to what they're accusing him of, this is a policy debate. They don't like the policies of the commander-in-chief, and they are doing everything they can to undermine him.
I disagree.
If they want their own policies in place, they need to run for office.
I disagree. I don't think it has anything to do with policies. They simply hate the man.
Well, they do that too, but they don't like his policies because they liked Obama's.
Well,
they don't like anything about him.
No, they didn't even like Obama's. They like, because they're not elected officials. They're the deep state. They're the... executive, senior, they want that power. They think they control and run all those agencies. They have that power. And what the president wants to do as far as diplomacy or foreign policy goes is irrelevant. That belongs to them.
He's a threat to that power.
Right.
So you're saying that they will tell the president what to say?
They think they will, but they've got one now that doesn't listen. And my point I was trying to make, though, is it has nothing to do with a quid pro quo, which is what they're trying to make it into. It has nothing to do with Joe Biden being his political opponent, because do you think he's really worried or concerned about Joe Biden defeating him? Have you looked at Joe Biden's rally? Have you seen a rally for Joe Biden?
You mean those 10 people?
Yeah. Versus the ones that you see for Trump. So I don't really think, you know, he needs the Ukraine's help to defeat Joe Biden or any of the other front runners in the DNC right now. And my opinion is that his objective in the conversation was totally about, okay, we got a new guy in here. We don't know if he's just as corrupt as the old guy. We know he's surrounded by corrupt people. So before we, you know, start befriending him, let's find out where he stands. Let's work on the anti-corruption part of it. And that's what it's all about. It's a dangerous precedent that's being set here, because what you're basically saying is, if you are a political opponent in a election, you can't be held accountable for anything you do wrong, because mm-hmm. if you do, it's a, you know, you're it's because you're his opponent, and that's not correct. Rainer was ahead of you, Diane.
George Kent did say something today, probably inadvertently, that I think will come home to haunt some people. And that is, he pointed out that the president of Burisma had made Burisma the largest gas company in Ukraine by stealing gas rights. He escaped first to Monaco and then to Russia to avoid being jailed. But this is the same fellow that Joe Biden's son was working for. Yeah. It's a really nasty sort of situation.
Right. And who was Joe Biden's partner?
I've forgotten his
Chris name. Chris Hines.
Yeah.
Who worked for...
But he he resigned. He ended that partnership as soon as the Burisma deal came up, because it was even too yucky for him.
And who did he work under? John Kerry.
Okay.
State Department.
I get the feeling that these people are not really unbiased, reliable witnesses to some of these things.
No kidding.
No, and it looked like, you know, they've had all these past weeks where they sit in closed session behind locked doors with no opposition to rehearse and put together their stories.
And they picked people who only had hearsay to share.
Right.
Because they were the ones that would come closest to saying what they wanted said publicly.
Right, Diane.
Well, before we go into this whole thing about the phone conversation and was a quid pro quo, all this, let's go back to Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. That provision gives the president sweeping powers to conduct foreign affairs, to negotiate with foreign leaders, to make any kind of promises or demands in order to further foreign policy. But it also gives them the power to, and the duty to find out if there's any corruption in our own government. So he had the duty and the obligation and the right to ask the Ukraine, has Hunter Biden done anything wrong, and Joe Biden done anything wrong?
Right.
To find out, root it out.
And
you know what? There's something about this quid pro quo thing that, tell me if I'm right about this. It's
extortion. It's, in other words, it's extortion.
But wait a minute. It is a negotiating tactic that's used in sales all the time. I could see my way clear, perhaps, to doing that for you if you could see your way clear to doing this other thing for me. Now, if somebody who's the president or any other public official uses that negotiating gambit to gain something for personally to put in their pocket or to further their interests in life, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. That's an ugly thing. But if they use that typically done in business negotiating gambit to see to it that our American taxpayer dollars are not going down a drain hole of corruption, it is perfectly legitimate and okay, fine thing to do.
Exactly. Well, I think that foreign aid historically has been used to either encourage or to ensure that those governments receiving that aid are using it in the direction in which we want that money to go. We don't just give it to them with no strings attached. That would be very foolish. So whatever policies or things we're trying to accomplish, those are the strings, or as you might say, quid pro quo. There's nothing wrong with it. That's called an agreement.
Yes. You get
something,
tactics,
you
right?
give something. If you want something, you have to give something. And that's a perfect, reasonable way of approaching this.
Well, while Raina was talking about that, I remember that she was at one time a very excellent real estate salesperson. And when you go to a closing, sometimes the buyer or seller wants to deviate from the written contract. And so a lot of times it ends up still negotiating. You know, if you'll give me this, I'll give you that. And that's perfectly fine
if
people are willing
exactly
to negotiate about
is,
it. Right. So, you know, I don't see anything wrong. I can't imagine there was anything wrong with what President
Trump did. I have to compliment the Republicans in that House committee, because I think they really stepped up to the plate in a very firm, assertive manner. And in the past,
it's about
a lot of times I felt as though they did not stand up.
Right.
But they fought today, and they brought out some crucial points, mm-hmm. and I was very pleased and proud of them for what they did, and hopefully that will continue. That's what we need in this country, people who will stand up for what's right.
Right. And I appreciate you joining in, Alan. I was going to invite you to do that. I agree with you, and listeners, that is not a partisan statement. That's a factual statement.
Right.
Forget about Republicans. He's talking about true patriots and conservatives that want to make sure that our Constitution is upheld. They happen to belong to one party or the other. That's not what he's
saying. It was divided along party lines, so if we wouldn't be discussing what really happened if we didn't observe that.
Right. So that's why we're excited about it, is because they're standing up for our country, standing up for our Constitution, standing up for us finally, and, you know, so party affiliation's in there. That doesn't mean
we're
partisan.
The Republican Party finally got a chance to put some members on that committee. They chose very, very well.
All right. Well, we've got to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We've gone a little long here. And then we'll come back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, during the break, we had Mary was educating Diane on how to dumb down her blog so more people
to get more hits.
So more people would come and read it. And well, Diane, all I can say is you could try it and see what happens. Also, Mary, you had one more comment on impeachment.
If you listen carefully, the Democrats are slowly moving the narrative away from quid pro quo onto bribery.
Right.
Because they're realizing that quid pro quo is not getting any traction.
Now
they're going to change the name. They're going to have the same phone call and the same information, but they're just going to change the label and see if they do any better.
Right.
I wonder how many labels they'll go through before they
finish
this
charade. Well, they've been through quite a few.
Well, it's hard for them to get around that transcript. That's the problem.
Can I just ask one last question on this? So if they go down this impeachment inquiry path, and we all know, you know, they may impeach him, but they're never going to remove him from office, and he will run again in 2020. So will that be the end? When they finish this witch hunt, this official witch hunt, will this finally put it all to bed? And will they leave this president alone and just stop investigating?
The only way to do that is to have a landslide of Republicans in the next election.
I don't even think that will help.
I think this is going to be a continued process. It's an attempt to overturn the election. This is the first president of the four. He's the fourth that have been impeached that were impeached in this first term in office. And they're just warming up. I don't think this is going to stop. I think they'll be continuing this because I don't believe they intend to do anything legislatively that will give him a win. They don't want to pass this trade agreement. And so I think it's a sad state of affairs.
Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to end it. There is going to be an end to it. Yeah. Tweet just came out. Barr says Inspector General's report on alleged FISA abuses is imminent. That's going to be one step. Then all the indictments that are coming out for all the crimes that they are accusing Trump of doing that they have actually done, some have actually confessed to, and there's evidence of when all that hits, that's going to put an end to it.
This is going to be a reckoning.
Well, yes.
We're going to have a reckoning.
The ship is about to hit the sand.
One of the things, and I'm not sure if we've mentioned this before, but a comment that we heard was, is President Trump a transitional president or a transformational president? If it's a transitional president, if he's only there for 4 years, we're going down the tubes.
Right.
If it's transformational, we're trying to totally undo that deep state.
Right.
Yes, Bob, well said.
That's why the fight won't stop, because he is such an existential threat to the corruption that has been running around Washington, D.C. for years, that they've got to get him out of there or they all go to jail. I just want to remember one comment.
Build a new wing on the jail.
Rick already gave you one comment.
I know. I got another one. Donna Brazile, when she wrote her book about the 2016 election, there was a line in there that I really didn't understand and now is beginning to make sense. She quoted Hillary Clinton the night of the election saying, in words that I won't use, you've got to fix this because if he wins, we will all hang.
Aha.
Well, in a representative republic, notice I didn't call it a democracy, when you lose an election, you don't hang. Why did she say that? Well, maybe we're beginning to understand that.
You will understand more and more as more light is shown in the darkness. These folks that Trump has working behind the scenes haven't been sitting on their hands. Okay? The evidence is out there. All of it. They have the servers, the emails, all that stuff. I know a lot of people, it's that conspiracy theory stuff again.
Well, I'm feeling more cheerful by the minute.
The best way to stop it in his second term, if he wins the election, is control of the House.
Yes.
Because the process
that's
can't go forward
I was talking about.
If the House is controlled by the same party of that the president's a member of.
That's a very good point, and so I want to capitalize on that. I want every one of our listeners, if you can't listen and drive at the same time, pull off the road, because this is very important. Okay? Every seat in the House is open for election in this next election, next November. Every single seat. That gives us an opportunity to replace all those do-nothings, those rhinos, those liberals, those communists, those socialists, those people that are trying to destroy our country, those people that couldn't quote one amendment out of the Constitution to you if they had to, replace them with actual patriots, conservatives, people that will follow the Constitution, and that oath that they take actually means something to them. And they know something about it. So the only way that's going to happen, folks, is if you go ahead right now and start preparing yourself and getting actively involved and become an activist. Stand up. Get involved at the local politics level. Start learning about these people and start identifying people. Find people that need to run. Let's put them out there. Let's get them in office. And that's how we take it back. That's how we take the House back. This is our perfect opportunity. And if we don't do it, shame on us. Shame on the people that sit at home and talk about it and don't go out and do something about it. And that includes going to the polls and casting your ballot. Hal?
Amen.
Well, here in Eastern North Carolina, we just sent a new member of the Freedom Caucus in the House, so he'll be up for election, too. So there's another person I think here in Eastern North Carolina has done a credible job and deserves to stay in the House.
Okay. Well, we won't endorse him, but you have your opinion, and you can share that.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, let's switch gears here. Our guest speaker again is Alan Harrop. Alan is a member of CCTA, and we're proud to have him join us because he brings a lot to the table with him. And today's topic from Alan is going to be on education. Now, I'm going to read a quote. The common public school is the institution which can receive and train up children in the elements of all good knowledge and of virtue. This is a quote from Horace Mann in 1841. Mann was so instrumental in launching America's public school system that he became known as the father of public education. Needless to say, he was proud of his creation. This institution is the greatest discovery ever made by man, he boasted. Alan, do you agree with him on that?
Well, I agree with him. It may have been that way when he made that statement. I certainly don't agree with it now. I think the schools, public school system in particular, and to some extent because of Common Core extending into some of the private schools, has become a tool of the left. And their efforts are actually surprisingly not hidden. They are very vocal about their objectives. It doesn't take a whole lot of research to see where things are going. Some of these things are not only not supporting the values of this country, which originally education to the founding fathers was supposed to accomplish two things. Number one is the teaching of faith and values and morals. And secondly, the objective of education was to ensure the people had, the citizens had a firm understanding of the importance of the values and standards behind the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, of which Diane is our resident expert. So these things have changed dramatically since the time that Mr. Mann made that statement.
Absolutely. Hal?
Well, it's gotten to the point there that I've tried to stop calling it the public schools and call it the government schools, because I thoroughly agree that the indoctrination is taking place in these schools, and there are other alternatives available to people to educate their children. The North Carolina State Constitution states that every child will have public education if other education is not available. So there are alternatives allowed in the state of North Carolina. And so I'm choosing to call them government schools and look at some of the alternatives.
Well, I'll be referring to and reading some excerpts from the New American Magazine, which had a special publication issue out, Rescuing Our Children. We had Alex Newman come in to our public meeting a month or so ago and deliver a great speech on all of that. He's one of the authors of this. And along the lines of what you're saying, I'm going to quote from his article here. Indeed, dictators have long understood that shaping the minds of children is the surest method of keeping power. As National Socialist Nazi tyrant Adolf Hitler put it, he alone who owns the youth gains the future. It is almost self-evident that anyone is interested in subverting freedom in the United States and worldwide would use education as a means to that end. And that, my friends, is what has been put in place for decades. It's they're very patient. You know, it's not get it. They know they can't do it overnight, but they just keep chipping away. decade after decade, bringing in and introducing new globalist ideas and socialist ideas and using the indoctrination of our children. Because a number of things have happened over those last few decades. We have more single-parent families now. The fathers aren't in the home. A lot of them are not brought up in church environment. They don't have that exposure to moral values and all that they would get in a church family. So it's left up to these teachers who are now being educated by radical liberals in the universities to be teachers, and they're being taught how to indoctrinate our children. And that's what's happening in the public or government school system.
It feels like that at this point, the only real solution is to homeschool, to take the children out and save them from that.
And I'm pretty sure it's pretty close to right on that. Okay, let's take a real quick break. We'll come back and let Alan expand on what he was telling us.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, before the break, we were talking very passionately because all of us, education is a very passionate topic that we like to get involved with. But we invited Alan here to talk to us, so we're going to put the muzzles on everybody for a minute and turn it over to him. Alan, tell us a little bit of the history of public education, how it started and how we got to where we are now.
All right. Thanks, Rick. In the 1800s, after the public school system was established, the primary stress was on academic skills. There was a lot of emphasis on teaching reading, math, writing skills, and that was the primary focus, particularly in the elementary grades. And then along in the early 1900s, about 1915, 1920, in that era, there developed a movement led primarily by an educator by the name of John Dewey. And John Dewey is considered the primary leader of this change in what's happened in the public school system. And he was an avowed socialist. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what he did was he actually took a trip to Soviet Russia to observe their education system. And he came back with the commitment to change the educational system in the United States to mirror what they were doing in Russia.
Right.
And what they were doing in Russia was they were not just teaching academic skills. They were teaching a philosophy of life. They were teaching a political approach to life.
Right.
And that's what he thought should be happening, and that's what he thought was wrong with the school system in the United States.
Right. What was being – how was the – school system different here? In my opinion, your main textbooks were the Bible, the catechisms that they used, the New England Primer. All of these didn't just teach you how to read and how to write, but the moral values were there.
And that was part of what he objected to.
Right.
Because you have to remember, to be a leftist slash communist, you have to be an atheist.
That's right. You have to throw
so
all
they
that
had
out.
To they had to bring a secular approach to things. So the notion that you could have Bible readings in class, or you could start the day off with a school prayer, all that stuff had to be eliminated, and that's what they set out to do. And they have, unfortunately, been remarkably successful in doing that over the years.
A lot of
some of their focus was on things like getting away from individual learning, or teaching the individual, and moving towards collaborative learning. In other words, you as a student are not there to advance your individual knowledge and your critical thinking skills and so on. You are there to assist and be part of the social group.
The collective.
The collective. The collaborative, collective mentality. And that, if you come out of school and you don't have that focus, they feel like they fail. So that's, it's really been an emphasis to do it. I remember my oldest daughter, when she was in the third grade, this is in the Raleigh schools, the classes were set up like a traditional class. Desks were in a row,
mm-hmm.
and they all faced the teacher.
All right.
Makes sense. The teacher's the authority. Each individual student is supposed to be learning from the teacher.
Right.
Now, they learn at different rates and so on, level, you know, at different levels, but so on. But anyway, but what they did, I went in there one day, and they had changed the seating arrangement. And they had an arrangement where they had the four desks. They had the desks in groups of four, each two desks facing each other. And the students were facing each other instead of facing the teacher. So I went up to the teacher and I said, well, why do you change this? What is going on? She said, the objective is to have the better students teach the slower students. And I said to the teacher, I said, I'm sending my daughter here to advance her education, not for her to become a substitute teacher. That's not her job. Her job is to learn the most that she can. But this is one of the structural changes
right.
that took place towards this collaborative learning. In fact, it's gotten so bad in some schools, they no longer give individual grades. The grades that the students get are the average of their group. In other words, if you're in a group of four students and you might be doing A-level work and the other students in that group are doing C-level work, they right. average it, they give everybody a B.
Good.
So there's an emphasis, again, on the group. And it comes across, and you should not stand out. That's the other thing.
All right.
There's no, you should not achieve too much because you make the other people look bad. We don't want to do that. That's why they have these participation trophies in sports. It's all part of this notion that your allegiance is not to your own individual ability to maximize your talents. Your commitment should be to the group, which is part of the socialist agenda that Dewey was pushing and has become an essential part of our current public school system, unfortunately.
It's abysmal.
Alan, could you comment on the UN's Agenda 21 involvement in the education of children?
Yeah, that's a good point, Al. Along with what they did in the local schools, there was also, as all socialist agendas can have, is a centralization of control of the curriculum. It used to be that children were educated at home and the parents set the curriculum. Then it moved into small local community schools, and again, the parents and the local people had control over what was being taught. Then it moved to the state level. And then in 1979, President Carter made a cabinet-level office, the Federal Department of Education, which then centralized the control of the curriculum, manifested through Common Core. Common Core became the epitome of what they were trying to accomplish. And it's gone beyond that now. They have what they call UNESCO, which is a United Nations-based group, and this group, this 21 that you mentioned. And the whole purpose of that is to teach the entire world the same set of educational curricula. Now, you got to remember, if they were just teaching academic skills, that might be okay. Everybody's going to learn to read and do math. But you got to remember, what they're teaching is social values. That's why you get this sex education in these lower grades, teaching them that there's multiple genders and gender fluidity and sexualization of children goes down now into the first, second, third grades. And it's a shock. Most parents, if they really knew what was going on, would yank their kids out of that school in a heartbeat. But most people don't realize what's going on.
And that's a problem.
It is a problem.
It's a problem that the parents so easily have relegated their authority and their
responsibility
of educating their children at home over to a stranger that they know nothing about, that they have no involvement with. They don't even go to the schools to find out what's going on or what their kids are being taught. Diane?
A few points. So when people do try, like this group or the citizen from New Bern, when they do try to alert parents what's going on in the school system, they're demonized for that, right? They're shut down because you're promoting hate speech, you're inciting hate, violence, and they just take the content down because they don't want these conservative values. They don't want parents to really know. But the safe thing is, like everybody's saying right now, if you don't want your kids to know this stuff, homeschool. Right now, homeschool is the best option. And colleges will tell you the brightest students that they are accepting are homeschool students. They perform the highest on your college entrance exams. I wanted to ask, this whole collectivism, when did that start?
That started in the 1920s and 1920s. 30s when, again, there's John Dewey and several others, educators. And unfortunately, I am a licensed psychologist, not unfortunately because I am, but it's unfortunate that psychology was so involved in facilitating this process, and that I feel bad about, because they even changed their approach to reading. Reading was always based on phonics being that you learn the pronunciation of letters, and then you group letters together, and then you can pronounce words you may have never even seen before. You can then pronounce them because you know the sound of the letters. That's the whole idea behind an alphabet. But what they did was they didn't like that because it was too individual based, and they wanted something that they could control, and they went to what they call sight reading, where the child sees a word and they're given a picture. So if they show the word horse, then they show a picture of a horse. So the child learns to look at that, recognize the configuration of that word, and then they remember, ah, horse. Now they don't know that the H sound, that the H letter, it makes an H sound.
Right.
They just recognize that word. And there's been a lot of research that this has contributed to the problem of dyslexia.
I can imagine.
Because
that, yeah.
People's brains are not organized to learn the reading the way they're teaching them. And there's been a lot of problems with children becoming proficient readers. But the idea the socialists have is they don't want people to be learning on their own. You have to remember, it's not them trying to teach people with individuals' ability to learn on their own, which is how people traditionally learn. Look at Abraham Lincoln. He never went to law school. He learned on his own. He became an apprentice. He did reading and so on and so forth. But you can't do that if you're a sight reader because you don't have the ability to comprehend and develop critical thinking and other things that you need to be successful. So hand in hand with the sight reading, and now that's pretty well the way reading's being taught.
Yeah,
I think one of the things that contributes to all that and facilitates it is taking religion out of our schools and our families, and you know, people not being as religious as they used to be, and that's led to the breakup of the family. And so you've got a lot of families with one-parent families, and mostly the father's gone somewhere, and the mother's trying to take care of the kids. And she's got to work to make a living for them, and she sends them off to school and expects the school to be the babysitter for them. And I really think the whole thing is a part of a package.
Let's look back before public education. Look at the founding fathers and all the documents they produced. They were very well educated, very well spoken, and none of them had formal education.
They may have gone to a college, but it was basically at home.
In fact, just to reinforce what you said, Rick, there was an individual from Europe who came over to the United States, de Tocqueville.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was amazed at how many American citizens were literate and could read compared to Europe.
And right. The children
and we
could
did
read.
Not have public schools at that. Most of the children were being taught at home.
Right.
And the Bible was the primary textbook.
And most people,
because every family had one.
Most people don't realize one of the first public school textbooks was the Bible, and it was printed by the Library of Congress.
Right.
Bob's been very patient over here.
Likewise, piggybacking on something Hal said, but also, and I'm reading something about, there was a Pennsylvania school that wouldn't allow the parents to see an LGBT indoctrination video shown to the parents. Now, if you are a single parent and your child is being indoctrinated with these things, you often can't take the time off to go and challenge the school system at all. I know within our own county, when you look, when you try to go and see something at the school board and you want to challenge something at the school board, the best you're going to get is a letter that says, thank you for your concern.
Right.
Well, everybody gets the same letter.
We're running out of time here, so we're going to have to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back and wrap up.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills. Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. We've got Bob and Mary Griswold. We've got Diane Ruffino. We've got Howard Rainer James and special guest Alan Harrop, who is trained psychologist, certified and everything. Well, certifiable, whatever.
That too.
Yeah.
Both.
He's here to talk to us about education. Tell us about the teachers.
Yes, that's a. I'm glad you brought that up, Rick. Obviously, the key component in the education system are the values and attitudes of the teachers. Now, where do the teachers learn? Well, they learn in teachers' colleges. When they go to teachers' colleges, they themselves are indoctrinated
Absolutely.
With the same principles from John Dewey that we've been talking about. So they come out of the teachers' colleges believing that they know the best way for their students. And I'm not questioning their motivation. They might have the best
I think they're very sincere
objectives
about it, yes.
and sincerity and so on. But they, again, may not have been and probably have not been exposed to a variety of different approaches because the schools that they go to did not teach them. And so what happens is you get the teachers' unions, for example, are very
politically motivated.
Politically motivated. Last year, the teachers' unions collected $32 million, and they contributed to the campaigns of people that we would probably put in the category of socialists, leftists, and
right.
certainly not conservative candidates.
Right.
So we have that issue. They are also opposed to alternative education options, like you mentioned, homeschooling. Most of the teachers' unions are against homeschooling. They're against vouchers, which would allow parents to take money and use it towards, excuse me, towards private schools, charter schools. They oppose all those things because it threatens their control over the entire education system in the country.
Right. Right. Well, I'm glad you brought that information forward because it's very relevant and the parents need to understand that. Well, that's all the time we have for Alan today. I want to tell you a couple of things that are going on. Our public meeting for November, which is on the 19th, the third Tuesday of every month, is free and open to the public. You can find out more about that and where it's located and everything at cctaxpayers.com.
But we're having an update from our sheriffs, Craven County Sheriff Chip Hughes, Carteret County Sheriff Asa Buck, and we're hoping Pamlico County Sheriff Chris Davis will be able to attend and give us an update on what's going on with the drug issues. You know, we had an opioid crisis forum, and they were very helpful. And they're working very hard, and they're being very successful. Also, human trafficking and illegal immigration, working with ICE, those topics. It's like a town hall. You'll get to ask questions. They'll get to give you answers, and you'll get to interface with them personally. That's on the 19th. Then on the 23rd of November, CCTA is holding a Second Amendment rally. Now, I want to make it clear, this is not a political event. This is a Second Amendment event. All of our speakers are not leftists, let's put it that way. They are Second Amendment supporters. Our keynote speaker is going to really blow your socks off. His name is Mark Robinson. You may have seen him on YouTube when he went to the Greensboro City Council because they were trying to shut down the gun shows, and he wanted to know when they were going to start looking out for the majority, and the majority was him and us, law-abiding citizens that hadn't broken any laws and crimes, and they were trying to take our rights away. So he's our keynote speaker. You can find out more about Mark on our website. There's some links to some of his videos. Also, we'll have Representative Michael Speciale and Representative Keith Kidwell, both great Second Amendment supporters, and Sheriff Chip Hughes. Sheriff Chip Hughes will be there, and he's bringing his K-9 unit, so that'll be interesting. We'll start off with a barbecue dinner. Tickets are $20. They include the barbecue plate, plus one gun raffle ticket. Charter Arms has donated a .38 special stainless steel revolver, and we'll be raffling that off. Then we'll have door prizes, and we'll have a 50-50. Then we'll go outside on the range and have a turkey shoot, and we'll have some range practice also. All the details, and you can purchase tickets, are on our website, cctaxpayers.com. Again, that's the 23rd of November, Second Amendment Rally. Hope to meet you there. Thanks for turning in. We'll see you again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, Go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.